Hi there. This is Prashant Shukla, and welcome to another edition of the Origin Ventures podcast. Today, I'll be speaking with Oren Younger, an investor at GGV Capital, a venture firm based in the Bay Area. I'm going to ask Oren about what he's working on and what he's excited about in technology, but also about his personal journey into venture capital, why he chose it, and if he has any advice on how to break into the industry for those who may be interested in the career. Hey, Oren. Good morning. How's it going?
Going really well. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for taking the time to chat with us.
For sure. Thank you for inviting me.
Awesome. So why don't we start with, you know, you introducing yourself and talk a little bit about your background and what you're doing at GGV Capital. And I think that would be a good place to start.
Awesome. Yes, sure. So I'm a senior associate at GGV Capital. I started in July, so that means that I have many days worth of experience at this point. Just kidding. So I'm originally from Israel. I spent about a decade as an operator in cybersecurity and technology. And my experience spans different roles from consulting to team lead to chief security officer and also different industries. So started in the military, moved on to financial institutes, and my last position was in a startup called Clicktail, which is a KKR-backed SaaS digital customer experience analytics solution, where I served as their chief security officer for several years before arriving to the U.S. to study for my MBA at Chicago Booth alongside my wife.
Awesome. And are you focusing on anything specific at GGV? I know, you know, GGV makes broad investments in enterprise SaaS. Is that your focus, or are you focusing on cybersecurity?
Yeah. Let me, you know, I'll give you a quick intro to GGV. Maybe I missed that. I'm sorry. So GGV is a multi-stage venture capital firm. We're based in Silicon Valley and China. We manage about $4 billion, and we're currently deploying out of our sixth fund, which is $1.2 billion. And in terms of categories, we focus on three main categories, which are consumer, frontier tech, and enterprise software. Within GGV, I'm working with one of the managing partners, Glenn Solomon, and focus my time on enterprise software and predominantly development and DevOps tools, IT infrastructure, and cybersecurity. I feel, you know, my previous experiences are most relevant to those areas, so, you know, while excited to expand to other focus domains, I would like to start with those that I'm mostly familiar with.
Yeah, it sounds like that's a good fit for you in terms of focus. What do you think makes you a good fit for venture more generally? You know, you have an interesting past from your time in Israel, obviously got an MBA at Chicago Booth. Is there anything in particular that you'd point to say, it helps your resume in terms of working in the venture industry?
So I don't want to sound like I'm tooting my own horn. You know, and every experience is different. So I cannot talk for GGV of what makes them to choose me. But I do think I bring a unique set of, I guess, skills to the table from operational experience and technological foundation, and this amplified with formal education at the University of Chicago. And I guess I'm lucky to specialize in a field that is of great interest to venture capital. And most of all, I'm excited and I'm lucky to find this amazing opportunity, as many talented and accomplished people are looking for an opening to VC.
Yeah. You mentioned in your answer there, you know, operational experience and some of your experience at the startups in Israel helping you now navigate kind of the venture space and the things you're working on at GGV. There seems to be a divide in opinion within the venture category on how important operational experience is. I mean, there are lots of luminaries in venture capital who came from operational experience and they lean on that in their investments and how they work with companies. But there are also lots of great investors who never actually were operators or CEOs or founders or anything like that of startups. So what's your take on kind of how important it is and whether you need kind of operational experience to be a good venture investor?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it's still early for me to make a really good opinion on this, and I don't want to talk on behalf of others. But I guess for me, it feels like I can relate better to some of the challenges that I discuss with founders and I interact with, you know, the people I interact with, thanks to my operational experience. It is easier for me to actually understand new enterprise technologies and concepts as I think about them in the context of my previous roles and the challenges that I faced and the problems that we actually try to solve. So for me, this is very helpful. For others, might be that a fresh outlook on things would be more useful.
Yeah, that makes sense. Can you tell us a little bit about when you decided you wanted to get into venture? I know, you know, obviously we went to grad school together. And so, you know, in becoming your friend, I obviously know some of your thought process, but it would be interesting to share, I think, with a broader audience, how you thought about getting into venture capital and what your calculus was for that decision.
Yeah. So when I joined Clicktail, I kept asking my boss, the CTO and founder, how he came up with an idea for the company and how we grew it. I later started kind of exploring how other founders got their company started. And I came to realize the important role of VC fueling that, I guess, innovation. Simultaneously, I had a rich experience in technology, and I advised many of my friends who were founders in Israel. And we kind of brainstormed together how to crack the challenges and their go-to-market and other plays in the technological sphere. I didn't know that it was, I guess, a good sign for things to come. And while the foundation was there, business school was definitely played an important part of my transition to VC because I couldn't look at business plans very well or even take a look at spreadsheets. So definitely it put me in a position to tackle those areas which I was not familiar with. I guess many told me not to pursue VC as a straight after business school, but I did get to interact with many people right out of the gate, people who graduated into VC roles and others, and I kind of learned of more of the operational aspect of VC, the context switching, seeing so many new innovators and people who are so passionate about what they're trying to solve and things they're trying to change in the world, would kind of put me in a, just, I was fascinated by it and decided that this is a path that I want to embrace and at least give it a shot.
Yeah, you mentioned something in there about the MBA from Booth kind of helping you ground some of your business fundamentals and prepare you for venture capital. You know, a lot of people have an opposite opinion about the value of an MBA, even if it's from a top program, and how much value it provides to venture. So it's interesting to hear you talk about how that helped you in tangible ways. Can you talk a little bit more about kind of the process of recruiting into VC and kind of how one goes about getting a job? Because I know a lot of younger folks, whether they're in college or they're working now after college or they're thinking about grad school or they're in grad school, you know, they'll ask, oh, you know, how do you get a job in venture capital? What should I learn? What should I do? And I'd be curious to hear kind of your take on the answers to those questions.
Yeah, I guess one man's journey is different than the next. So I cannot really see all the path that others get into venture. And I guess for me, recruiting was not easy. In fact, it was extremely difficult. You know, this is not news that there's an imbalance of supply and demand, that many more people want to go into venture than their other positions in this. So while there are no good formula here, as to just see what you're really good at and try to knock on as many doors as you can to see if this is a good fit for a VC and they're actually looking for somebody to help in the areas that you focus on. So I did a lot of self-searching and iterating until I reached a spot where I told, you know, a good compelling story to justify my value prop, moving from being a chief security officer to being a VC. And you know, this is no kind of good recipe. The only thing you go about is get a good, just go ahead, ask for advice, dive deep, iterate, and practice. I guess the second thing that really helped me was building networks. So VC is all about accessing to people and companies, and being from a different country, I didn't know a whole lot of people in the U.S., especially not in the West Coast, which is geography of my interest. So I spent a lot of time getting to know startups, building rapport with them. And then when I met investors, I had something interesting to talk about. Eventually, I guess it worked. I secured a spring internship and OCA Ventures through the Chicago Booth VC Lab, and also a summer internship in Sand Hill Road in Menlo Park with the Westlake Group. And I was lucky to work in a firm which encouraged me to keep meeting new people and develop my personal brand through the summer, which was the foundation for my recruiting in year two. And indeed, the second year of my MBA, I kept traveling regularly from Chicago to the Bay Area to meet with companies, investors, and progress farther. And after obtaining, I guess, work experience in a VC and building networks locally in the Bay, I eventually got in front of GGV. You know, I guess the third part of it is the opportunity is right when you're right for it. It's really about, I think, not only getting a VC job, I would say, but also getting the right one. So for me, VC job at GGV was really it's a great fit for what GGV was looking for, which just seems like everything aligned really well. I talked with our managing partner Glenn, Hans, Jeff, and others, which are world-renowned investors and are also down-to-earth individuals who foster bonds with everybody around them. So I think that their approach with the global mindset, as well as their focus on technological spaces that I was looking into, as well as the dimensions to grow into Israel, was really a compelling story to a good fit between me and GGV.
Yeah. Was there anything that surprised you through the recruiting process? You mentioned that it was difficult, that everybody has their own journey. Was there anything that you were surprised by that you sort of didn't know going in, but after going through it, you sort of realized?
So I was warned by many not to go and pursue venture, and it's going to be challenging to say the least. While I was, I guess, rationally prepared for this, it was still challenging not to be burned out and keep believing in this path, especially when comparing yourself to your MBA peers who opt for a more known path through on-campus recruiting. So yeah, this was obviously a challenge. Yeah.
Makes sense. So let's pivot a little bit and talk about, you know, the technology landscape, or I should say kind of the venture landscape. Are there any emerging categories that you're particularly interested in? Obviously, you have a certain set of focus areas at GGV Capital that you're working on, but I'm sure you have your own kind of inclinations towards certain things that may be more exciting to you than others.
Yes. So GGV is great. They actually allow me to look at areas that I'm excited about versus think that kind of coming top down. So this is, for me, it's great to kind of go and explore and figure things out of what makes me excited. So there are a few areas that I'm currently looking into that I think are very interesting. So in the infrastructure area, I believe that serverless is advancing in much faster pace than was previously expected. It allows developers to move much faster and focus on the business logic and less on the infrastructure. And while serverless is great in this new approach, it is not problem-free. And there are a few areas within serverless that definitely are, I guess, more interesting to me at this point. So, you know, companies will need to address a few of those areas. For example, taking their legacy application and move them to this new type of architecture. In addition, this is very difficult to monitor something you don't really own. So those specific areas, I think, will need to evolve. And I already saw some exciting companies in these categories, and I can only expect to see more. I guess, generally speaking, companies today understand the value of monitoring their application. And I think it's great timing to use that information to provide preemptive insights and allow to optimize the infrastructure within a click of a button. So development and DevOps teams can be more proactive versus reactive to incidents. I guess that's enough on the infrastructure end. From a security perspective, I'm looking into solutions that address supply chain threats and can prevent disruptive incidents coming from third-party providers. Also, I think that patch management is not well optimized these days, so there's a lot of room for disruption. Identity management is also a category that I believe will keep growing and we'll see great innovation coming out of in the next few years. And as a general theme that I'm excited about in the security realm are products that are used outside the security department. Those kind of destroy any barrier of entry and allow exceptional growth. So those are some of the categories that, you know, I do think are quite interesting. I spend a lot of my time in.
That's great. Yeah. Now I have a better idea of what companies to send your way. Well, why don't we play a little buy or sell? This is the first time I've done this on the podcast, so you're kind of the guinea pig, but it's basically whether or not you're a buyer or a seller of a specific company at a specific price. So why don't we start with Slack?
How much money do I have?
What's up?
How much money do I have?
You have as much money as you would need to invest in the next round of financing.
Okay.
Or rather, at the round of financing at the current post-money valuation. So Slack, I believe, is around $7.1 billion in its most recent round. A couple of weeks ago that was announced. So are you a buyer of Slack at $7 billion or are you a seller?
So I guess this is not really a fair question because we are investors in Slack. yet I am a fan.
Okay.
This is probably one of the fastest growing SaaS companies in the market right now, if not the fastest. So I would say you should buy, or I guess I should buy in this sense.
Right. I mean, GGV is an investor, but it sounds like Oren Younger Investments or Oren Younger LLC would also be a buyer of Slack at $7 billion.
It's true.
Yeah. Okay. And what about SurveyMonkey, which you probably saw filed for their IPO a couple of weeks ago? They kind of have a mixed financial history. You know, they're not yet profitable. They've been around for almost 20 years, I think. And I think their target valuation is $2 billion or a little over. Are you a buyer or seller of that business at $2
billion? Yeah, SurveyMonkey is an interesting one. I guess there's a really fierce competition from companies such as Google, Qualtrics. SurveyMonkey have substantial debt versus revenue. From what I've seen, it's about $320 million on a little bit over $200 million of revenue, and they're growing a little bit slower than other SaaS companies that have gone public in recent years. On the other hand, they have a very good product and they're positioned very well for B2B, and they have gone through a restructuring recently, which could be the reason for the slow growth. In general, the market conditions are the ones to, you know, to make those decisions. So I would say in this market, you should definitely, or not definitely, but I think you should buy.
Got it. And the last one here is actually a choice between two companies who are competitors, Uber and Lyft. Would you rather be an owner of Uber at their most recent valuation around $70 billion or Lyft at somewhere around their most recent valuation between $15 and $20
billion? Oh, wow. I guess I would go with Uber. I'll tell you why in a sec. Let me collect my thoughts. So I think that the market leader advantage here, it's just too compelling in this specific market, together with the company's tactic of strategic collaborations and creation of a super app will prove to be very valuable in this category. So I think that Uber just has a great potential to grow much faster and become a bigger, even bigger company at this point. Not that Lyft will be a bad outcome. It's just, I guess, if I have to choose one.
Yeah, I like the conviction. That's great. Well, those are the topics I wanted to cover, Oren. You know, I appreciate you taking the time and sharing some of your personal journey with us and your budding opinions as a you know, investor. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with the listeners before we wrap up?
I guess you asked me before, and we did talk about it prior, about, you know, the journey into VC, which is very interesting. And I do get a lot of pings, as I was one of those people reaching out to those broke into the industry. And I don't want to go too deep. And as I mentioned, this is not one size fits all. I guess the two tips, the most generic tips that I would say for people who really think of doing this leap of faith. And again, not to say that I'm a great investor or anything, but if this is something that somebody has a real true conviction on, I would say that they have to have the commitment of pursuing this. This is not an easy one, and there's not a lot of LinkedIn openings. And if they are, I guess there are a lot of applications versus the number of positions that are actually open. So this is something that is definitely have to be a great commitment on the person then. And the second one is patience. It takes time. It's not something that will end in a week or 2 weeks. And coming out of business school or even undergrad, you would see a lot of your friends securing jobs before you do. So if you don't have the stomach for it, it might not be the best of ideas. Because it does take patience and finding the right position for you could take some time. So those are the two tips that I wanted to emphasize. Hope this is helpful to anybody.
Yeah, I think that's great advice, especially for those who are thinking about it, who may be in school now or maybe at a startup or a bigger tech company and be thinking about making a move. And I appreciate your humility as well in all of your answers today. Well, thanks a lot, Oren. It was great catching up, and hopefully we can do